we're not racing to acquire as much MicroStrategy as possible over the next 10 years. You know, we're racing to acquire as much Bitcoin as possible. Is this a Bitcoin play? Is it a crypto play? Are they going to start accepting payments? Is there something else, some other project they're working on in the background?
We just have to focus on the education of getting people to understand why Bitcoin is the real one to worry about and the one to think about and the one to care about.
When people say, oh, the dollar is going to collapse, I'm sorry, bud. It already collapsed. I mean, it's over.
Bitcoin is really, really, really good money. And the fact that it doesn't do 500 other things is completely irrelevant to me. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Ben with me. Tony's out traveling. Gents, let's jump into the news. So up first, we have Jim Chanos, short MicroStrategy, long Bitcoin call is playing out. So since May 1st, Bitcoin is up 22% and Strategy is down 14%. He said, I'm doing what Saylor is advocating. I'm selling Strategy securities to buy Bitcoin. Greer, I'll let you take this one first, man. I think it's too early to do a victory lap as folks who have been somewhat critical of the treasury company strategy that many are deploying. But over the last, you know, 6 months, few months, it's been nothing but down for many of these treasury companies. I'd be curious to hear your take on this.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Chanos knows exactly what he's doing. He is, he told everyone what his plan was. I think for MicroStrategy holders who maybe got in last year when it was in the 400s and 500s, you know, they were really being sold a story that MicroStrategy was going to get included in the S&P. It was going to go up to 3,000 or 1,500 or at least have considerable gains. And, you know, that could still be true over the long run. But we're not racing to acquire as much MicroStrategy as possible over the next 10 years. You know, we're racing to acquire as much Bitcoin as possible. So, you know, I think I feel for any pleb that thought they were going to get ahead by investing in MicroStrategy and do it in the short term. Like long term, we have no idea where this will go. But I think while Bitcoin is available and while you could still buy it, you know, that's the play. Get the Bitcoin and forget about all this stuff. You know, it's easy to think, I'm going to get rich quick. MicroStrategy dominates the market. The rest of the market will wake up eventually. Maybe that's not true. Maybe the market won't wake up. And maybe there are forces that are outside of pleb's control that are going to push downward pressure on this equity. So it's I guess, another instance where we can say, you know, the best thing to do is in the turtle and the hare race, just be the turtle. Stack Bitcoin every day, every week, whatever money that you don't have to use for expenses, that should go into Bitcoin. And other than that, hopefully you can watch this stuff from the sidelines.
I agree. The sidelines is a much better viewing point than in the trenches. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, as we were talking about before we started recording, one of the stocks that I took a play on and Tony let a dump on me is the GameStop. And because we were all speculating, oh, are they going to buy a whole bunch of Bitcoin? Are we going to like get ahead of Bitcoin on this? I think we all just need to accept that it's a gamble when you're going into the fiat market, for especially if you're betting on what these companies are going to be doing with Bitcoin, because you don't know what they're going to be doing. And even if you do know what they're going to be doing, like with Saylor, you know, you're just going to keep buying Bitcoin. There's so many other forces that can manipulate things around, and it's not going to give you the better sleep that Bitcoin does in saving your purchasing power. So yeah, clearly he's winning that bet. And I think that a lot of people are learning, some of them the hard way, if they took leverage and things like that, that Bitcoin is the way. You just got to be stacking Bitcoin. That's got to be the anchor point for you.
Yeah, I think the best sleep aid is Bitcoin and cold storage. And if you're in any of these other alternatives, proxies, you're compromising in a way that would offset some of the benefits that many of us feel. Just buying, taking self-custody, not thinking about it anymore. Alrighty, guys, up next, we've got Pete Rizzo says that just in, $2 trillion Amazon posts a $500K per year job offer for a crypto ecosystem lead. In typical Pete Rizzo fashion, he says Bitcoin is going mainstream. That's not what they said. They said that they have a crypto ecosystem lead spot available at the company. The optimist in me hopes that they are looking for ways to integrate Bitcoin into, you know, payments. And I would, believe me, I would love for my wife to be able to start using Bitcoin to buy all of her Amazon deliveries. But I'm curious if you either you would like to speculate on what they're thinking with this. Is this a Bitcoin play? Is it a crypto play? Is it, are they going to start accepting payments? Is there something else, some other project they're working on in the background? Ben, I'll let you take that first.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say just from job title, like the vague basics they give us. But so many companies start in the crypto level and a lot of them are still stuck there. But I still, when I'm looking at it as a net good or net bad, I would consider it a net good because all these things are just getting more people like open to the idea of a future where we are paying with things other than our fiat dollars to buy goods and services. And this is doing that. It's getting people more open to the idea. And like so many other cases, we just have to focus on the education of getting people to understand why Bitcoin is the real one to worry about and the one to think about and the one to care about, and continue pushing these companies and demanding that this is what we want to pay with. And they're all going to be forced to eventually. It's just a matter of how quickly it happens.
Yeah, Greer?
I see Web3 when I read this headline. You know, I can only imagine a job description describing what you have to create and lead and manage on this role. Hopefully a Bitcoin pleb gets it, you know, and he says, hey, we're going to incorporate Bitcoin. We're going to do payments. And we're going to, you know, maybe think about doing the Lightning Network. I mean, there's so many great things in Bitcoin that I think Amazon could benefit from, you know, with Square enabling Bitcoin payments at retailers. Like there's a lot to be excited about, but, you know, I mean, it's good work if you can get it. You know, 500 grand a year is not a salary to shake off. But my hope is that a pleb is the one that takes this role and, you know, maybe softens the Web3 message and amplifies Bitcoin as part of their strategy.
Yeah, maybe we should start a campaign to just flood the applications with super Bitcoin maxi to make sure they get that push in the right direction.
Dude, so it says the job will be focused on driving blockchain integration, whatever that means, building strategic partnerships and exploring digital asset adoption across platforms. So, yeah, it doesn't
all
look
looking great.
Yeah, not optimistic that they're just going to start accepting Bitcoin in the next month or so. But we'll see. Fingers crossed. Hopefully we get a hardcore toxic Bitcoin maxi in there and they can shake up the culture a bit at Amazon. Alrighty, guys, up next, we've got Hoddle Magoo says, I genuinely feel bad for people who got roped into the Nakamoto hype. The stock is now down 96% from the top and 50% alone today. Hope you treat this as an investment lesson and learn something. This has been, unfortunately, and this goes to, you know, Jim Chanos' point about these treasury companies, is that what you're doing is you are you're betting on the leadership team to execute a particular strategy. You're betting that for any number of reasons, it's going to outperform Bitcoin and you're taking on a lot of counterparty risk to do so. And I've seen people, the fact it's, I think it was sitting at like a dollar or something. And there was Greer, what was that? We were following some account. I think it's like Molly something. And she was telling us, she's like, it's going to like $2. And she reasoned why, and we watched it slide over, you know, a month or a couple of months or whatever. And at the end of the day, there are people who get preferential access to these shares. They hit some sort of a peak where they say, I've, you know, 20x'd my money and I'm going to dump now. Like that's, they came for the fiat gains and the insiders get those fiat gains first. So another word of caution. I know this is a bit redundant with our first story, but Greer, do you have anything you want to add here?
Yeah, it looked like, I mean, from that account, she was telling us that, you know, the pipe investors got in at $1.12 and right now we're at $1.41 a share. So even if you're an insider, this one's not looking great unless you already managed to get out. So I think the pipe unlocked either Friday or recently in the past couple of days. And I don't know, I agree with Magoo here. I mean, I feel bad for the plebs that, you know, bought into the hype and thought this was going to go somewhere. it's really hard to tell where this stuff is going to go. I mean, you can know what Bitcoin's going to do. It's going to be one Bitcoin's going to be worth one Bitcoin. You can, you know, you can purchase it today, and in 4 years, I think you'll be happy that you did. I can't say that about any of these other products. You know, the risk is just too high. If you have funds to play with, great. But I would just say, you know, smash buy Bitcoin and just ignore all this.
So I've thought about this before with like Vitalik at Ethereum. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. This is just an analogy, and say, you know, when he first started Ethereum, he thought he was creating like a better version of Bitcoin or something. Let's assume for a moment that he had good intentions. But at some point, he begins to see the project is not going to be Bitcoin, and you're so far in that it's you either have to go to your investors, to your community, and say, hey guys, like it failed, or you just keep on building and building. I have to wonder if there are folks in the Treasury Co. community that are looking at what's going on and they're wondering, have we made a terrible mistake here? But we've already got the investors, we've already, you know, put together the spec sheets and everything that goes into launching this sort of product, and they feel stuck. I don't know. Ben, do you have any thoughts on that?
Not a whole lot more than we added on the earlier story, to be honest. It's just another example of people going into something thinking they're going to outplay Bitcoin, and it blows up because it's a gamble. I think that this just needs to be viewed as a total gamble. And it would be smart for you to understand these fiat market mechanics of the insiders and when they get in, when they get out, and how all that works, because a lot of the people that got in understandably didn't understand that the insiders were going to leave at some point and it would dump it. So yeah, it just takes a lot more skill of the game of fiats. And a lot of people like myself just don't want to spend the time learning all of the fiat rules. So if that's like you, like most people, I would just go with Bitcoin.
Well said. All righty, guys. Ben Justman posted, it's incomprehensible how much they've stolen from us. So there was a revised minimum wage. So the minimum wage in 1971 was $1.60 an hour. So in 40 hours a week, that's $64 per week, or about 1.82 ounces of gold. Today, the minimum federal wage would need to be $162 per hour to have the same spending power. And this guy says time for an increase. So he's clearly an economist and not an economist. And to the extent that he knows anything about economics, it's Keynesian drivel. But the purchasing, I think the average person goes to the grocery store and they're looking at how much it costs just to feed their family, and they realize something is amiss. But I don't think most people have probably stepped back to this level and realized just how overtly they've been stolen from. Greer, what's your message to people who are paying attention to this?
Yeah, this hurts. You know, when you're looking at a chart like that, it really crystallizes it for you. You know, our money had value for just a short period of time after we went out the gold standard. You know, within like 8 years, it started to devalue considerably, and that hasn't stopped. You know, we didn't choose to be part of the fiat system. We were most of us, you know, were born into it. And, you know, seeing higher prices is just part of the way of life. You know, I think thankfully we have a way out, but, you know, we're seeing what this feels like everywhere. And the knock-on effects of this are very big. You know, people are having smaller families or not having families at all. Homes are unaffordable. Rent is unaffordable. People are using, you know, credit just to stay alive. And, we don't want to live in a world like this. There is an alternative, and it's the challenge is just getting people to realize that this isn't greedy corporations that are just raising prices to line their pockets. You know, this is a fundamental shift that the money we use does not have any value. And I don't see where this goes other than accelerating. You know, when people say, oh, the dollar is going to collapse, I'm sorry, bud, it already collapsed. I mean, it's over. You know, we're just waiting for everyone else to kind of realize it. But I promise you, everyone feels this.
So Ben, you've told me before that you've sort of parted ways philosophically with your family on many matters. I'm curious, do you have conversations? Because as a Bitcoiner, you understand very fundamentally what we're talking about here. Are these conversations you have with the people in your life, and do they talk about, like, does it resonate because they can at least feel the pinch of the collapse of the dollar, or is it still just like an uphill battle?
Well, what Greer just said is pretty much the thing that so many of the, let's just say normies, it's easier to try to come up with nicer words, of just blaming the corporations and the greedy CEOs. That is such a default, because that is like the first thing that is blamed by these machines is the greedy CEOs, it's the corporations, it's the Beyonce concert causing people to spend more. It's the most ridiculous things that they can come up with. And the mission that us Bitcoiners need to have is just walking them through these very simple analogies for them to understand. The one that I always use is the McDonald's dollar menu. It used to have, like, everything was a dollar, and now it's like $7. And it's not because a Big Mac got seven times more valuable. It's because the dollar lost, it got seven times less valuable. And explaining how when you see those gigantic numbers of this, the government is passing this bill for $1 trillion bazillion, that is just diluting everyone else's money, and that's what's lowering the purchasing power. And trying to just help people connect those dots, it's becoming easier to help people connect the dots over time, I would say, because people's trust and authority is waning, and that provides an opening for the educators out there. But yeah, overall, unfortunately, the masses of the NPCs out there are not making this connection yet, because the media stream they're consuming is giving those stupid excuses I mentioned. And that's where education is just so important. And everyone listening to this and watching this is on the ball. So just do your best to try to just plant those seeds for people and help them understand.
Yeah, it's much simpler. And people take the intellectual path of least resistance most of the time. And it's much easier to blame your problem on, you know, a corporation that you're familiar with, and to just parrot narratives from the mainstream media than it is to dig in and understand how the financial system really works. And so I think we're going to continue to see that. Hopefully, though, Greer, to your point, you know, more people are going to wake up to this, because it's undeniable that there's a problem at this point. What we just need is people to zero in on what's the actual root cause of everything that we see and what we're all experiencing. Okay, we've talked a bit about Nepal. We talked about this on the Bitcoin Banter Live last week. I think we talked about it on the show as well. But it says Nepal turns to Bitcoin and stablecoin. This protest rocked the nation. So for anyone who isn't following along, so they've put some onerous requirements on these social media applications, and many have failed to comply. And so they started to ban things like Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp. I think TikTok complied. But a huge protest from Gen Z, obviously, because that is where they experience their social lives. And they're finding that, it is a means of transacting. It's much easier to use Bitcoin, and unfortunately, but true, stable coins like Tether as well. And, I'll just give you my take on this is, while we have been very critical of Tether, stablecoins in general, it is nothing but an extension of the fiat system. The value that I recognize to it is that it is less permissioned and slightly more censorship resistant and frictionless than, you know, going through banks and clearing houses and, you know, all the settlement that takes place over multiple days or weeks in the traditional fiat system. So my hope is that the extent that people are using Tether as a means of circumventing the traditional financial system, it makes it that much easier to get to Bitcoin, to say, okay, this frictionlessness, I like this. The problem, though, is I'm still holding and transacting and devaluing fiat. What if there was a version of this that was scarce and I couldn't be censored, and, you know, and so on and so forth, and they end up at Bitcoin? Maybe I'm being a bit optimistic, but it feels like a step that could be taken. Ben, I would be curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I lived in Argentina earlier this year, and they have all kinds of craziness going on with the currency over there, and they're really using Tether a lot. but it provides an opening for them to learn about Bitcoin. There are a lot of good Bitcoin meetups and Bitcoin groups educating in a process of getting people over that bridge. And it'll maybe take a few years to see if that's successful, if they're able to bring the masses over and understanding Bitcoin is the next step. But I do think that even as, like you guys said, I'm not a fan of the stable coins. They are just an extension of fiat, but they are helping people understand that you don't need to only use your fiat currency and you don't need the banks. This is all done digitally. And then they're more open-minded to the next step, which is switching to the one that is actually the better form of money that is done in the digital realm, which is Bitcoin. So it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds. But I do love the Nepal story in general, just because it's showing that when people just hit a point of being fed up and want to make a change, they just did it. And especially as it was Gen Z and they're making a push. So hopefully that they can find the right way through the noise of the crypto world, like we talked about, and the stablecoin stuff, and find Bitcoin. And it could be a really great story.
Greer, are you going to rain on our parade of optimism?
No, I love this. I think life finds a way, you know, and this to me is like, maybe it sounds cringe, but this is like when flowers grow through concrete, right, in a parking lot. You know, you're not going to be able to stop people. You know, they've adopted BitChat, which is decentralized communication using Bluetooth mesh networks. You know, they found Tether, which is a great one-to-one to their local currency. And they're also using Bitcoin. It looked like in this particular story, there was someone outside the country that was able to send someone in Nepal Bitcoin. So to me, this is the future. You know, I think that we are going to watch crypto at large really become obsoleted by Tether. And I think ultimately at the end of the day, which could be in a year or 2 years or five, but it's coming, I think we're going to see Tether and Bitcoin live side by side, and that will be the future digital payment system. So Nepal got there first. To me, this is a microcosm of what could happen all over the world. But ultimately, you are not going to stop people from desiring to be free. If that is your goal, and we know it is in oppressive regimes, you are going to lose. The people will find a way. So I think the sooner that we come to terms with that and see what the future looks like, you know, the easier it will be to tell people that, you know, Bitcoin is your savings, it is your spending, it's your unit of account, it is the money. So I am also optimistic about how this goes.
Good deal. All righty, guys, I'm just going to read most of this tweet. So just for context, gold is sitting at about $3,700 right now at the time of this recording. Just watching this gold move with increasing concern. I say this as someone who posted on August 28th at $3,400 to watch for a move up. I also say it as a decades-long gold bull who has owned physical gold for many years. No one should be watching this with joy. We know why it's happening, sovereign bid, especially China, et cetera, and we can discuss that endlessly. But the message it's sending is that protection will be crucial. As this plays out, never forget that it's happening in part because of appalling incompetence at the Federal Reserve. This is a policymaker. This is a policymaker in desperate need of more oversight. It's also becoming clear that the Fed should ultimately be relegated to a less impactful policymaking role, whatever form that might take. Independence cannot be a hall pass for incompetence. So I completely agree with the sentiment here that I think people are moving to gold because they know government debt sucks and they're looking for the safe haven asset. And historically, that's been gold has been one of these alternatives. I think more people are going to migrate into Bitcoin. Obviously, the thing I disagree with is that the Fed is, obviously they're incompetent, but that they should be relegated to a less impactful policymaking role. We don't need a Federal Reserve. You only need a Federal Reserve if the government is the issuer of the currency. All we need is a bit of code that tells us there will only ever be 21 million units and 100 million subunits per unit, and here's the issuance schedule, and no one can mess with it. So I think he misses the point. Like, this is kind of like, well, the government should probably just tweak or adjust this. It's like, no, the government should leave. We don't need to replace the cancer once it's been removed. Greer, I'll let you take this one first, man.
Yeah, I think he's pointing out that this is a warning signal, you know, and this is across the spectrum. You're seeing not just regular people and investors, but countries get into gold. They're doing it to move away from the U.S. dollar. And here at home, they're doing it to shelter their wealth. So I don't think anyone's in gold for number go up, right? You're in gold so that you don't lose what you've built and what you've created. I think Bitcoin is better than gold, but I think that this is more than a canary in the coal mine. And I think as this rush to go into gold shows us, like, time is probably short and whatever's coming is a lot closer. And, you know, gold is signaling to the rest of the market that, you know, there's something wrong happening. And I think right now we've seen, you know, countless talking heads say, hey, get into hard assets, get into stuff that can't be devalued or debased. Ultimately for us, you know where I stand. I think Bitcoin is better than all of those. But, you know, the question about where we go is becoming a lot more clearer today.
Yeah. Ben, you have anything to add to that?
Not really. I think that all Bitcoiners are pretty much on top of this. We know that rabbling about what Jerome Powell is doing with the policy or what any of the individual pieces are doing or what the policy as a whole is, it all just comes back to that meme of the video game controller that has one button on it that just says print money. That's that's the only action the Fed does, and it only hurts people. And they can only turn that on and off. And the people arguing over when they should turn it on, when they should turn it off, is just such a stupid thing to be arguing about when the problem is the existence of the Fed in the first place. The government should not be in control of the money. It was never supposed to be that way, and people need to figure that out, because that's what's really causing all these problems we're talking about.
Well said. Up last, we have Monero's blockchain hits reverse as it experienced its deepest ever reorg today. And this was, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago. The chain experienced an 18-block rollback that rewrote roughly 36 minutes of history and invalidated 118 confirmed transactions. Enough said. Greer, why don't you take this to explain why Bitcoin only?
Yeah, I think it's good to remember that the first three letters of crypto are cry. You know, I mean, prepare for chaos and crying. And I understand why some people use Monero. They want it to be used for private payments. You know, Monero is not a store of value. It's the gas station bathroom that some people use when they really need to go and get out of whatever, make a purchase or something. But I think, when you look at Monero, like, this has been demonstrated to be, it's controlled now by Qubit or Quibit. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. But in August, they did a 51% attack where they controlled the mining. And, you know, this week they've reorged the chain. Any signal is that you don't own this. If you're participating in this network, you are not an owner. You have no say over what happens. And it's in the hands of someone else who has their own ideas. So, I just feel bad for people getting caught up in this stuff, because it doesn't have to be this difficult. You know, there's an easy solution. And yes, you have to learn a few steps to be able to hold and secure your Bitcoin. But if you do that, you know, this stuff doesn't even matter to you.
Yeah. And I would add that a lot of the privacy benefits of Monero are coming to L2s. And at the end of the day, you have to have a sufficiently large network effect to secure the network. And while I'm Bitcoin only, I don't own Monero, never have, I can sympathize with, like, the mission that the Monero folks are on, like what they think they're trying to accomplish. But at the end of the day, you have to win, and you have to kind of do it decisively, because if you don't, your network isn't going to remain secure for very long. And that's what seems to be happening. So, we all have to make compromises. And I feel this way about Bitcoin too, because a lot of people are like, hey, think about all these other cool things Bitcoin could do if we just made these changes. And my stance is, don't let, perfection be the enemy of the good. And Bitcoin is really, really, really good money. And the fact that it doesn't do 500 other things is completely irrelevant to me. And maybe it would be awesome if it could, with no other consequences, but there's no way to be sure of that. And I'd rather say, let's go with the network that has the broadest network effect, is the most secure, is the most liquid, and is really, really good. And we use, you know, the Bitcoin way as money every single day. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when I was in the process of building the website, whybitcoinonly.com, which has exactly the message you would expect, is that one of the most important messages out there that I think is the most effective at helping people see why we are Bitcoin only is because, like you said, Michael, all the things that work really well on these other crypto experiments can just be implemented into Bitcoin. And a lot of people in Bitcoin care about privacy, so those privacy solutions will be added to Bitcoin on L2s, like you mentioned. So I think examples like this just show that there's no reason to be putting any real purchasing power onto this. If people are looking for privacy things right now, like you said, I think you got those, both of those good examples of the gas station restroom. I mean, I'm not going to say that you're a terrible person if you need to use something different than Bitcoin for some situation, but this shouldn't be where you're focusing your energy or really putting any real money. For reasons like this, it's not trustworthy.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Gents, I think this is a good place to wrap. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Ben, tell them where they can check you out. And then Greer, why don't you tell people where they can find your merch?
Yeah, wherever you're listening, I'm on YouTube, Ben Werman. I'm on all the podcast platforms. I got the Ben Werman podcast. I'm on X, Noster, all the good places. Come find me.
Shopbirdflip.com. I've got Knott's hats, sweatshirts, all kinds of new gear if you're into the Knott's versus Core debate. And of course, the Bird Flip merch that you mentioned. And yeah, you could pay in Bitcoin.
It's awesome. Good stuff. And stick around for another minute. Learn a bit about the Bitcoin way. Thank you for tuning in. Gents, great chatting. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Absolutely. See you later, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe. Stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.